following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you by our friends at Central Barbecue. They've been on board with us here for quite a while. And I tell you what, those of you who live here, obviously, you know about their fantastic stuff. There's three locations here. There's one downtown. There's one in Midtown, which is the original location. And one out east over on Summer Avenue. You can find them online at cbqmemphis.com or look for their banner out on our website at radio-memphis.com. Good stuff, man. And here's the thing. You know, well, man, I don't live in Memphis, but I want some of the barbecue. Yeah, you can get it. You can order online. That's the beautiful thing. You can do it two ways, really. You can go to their website, as I mentioned, cbqmemphis.com, or you can pick up the phone and call them. Area code 901-767-4672. That's 901-767-4672. They'll ship it to anywhere here in the United States of America. Ribs, pulled pork, there's a combo pack. You can get both. Yeah. Their signature sauce and their signature seasoning is also available for you to have at your home. It's the taste of Memphis brought right to you. Anywhere in the United States of America, it's Central Barbecue. They're proud sponsors from Radioland. As we get started with the show right now. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. It's the show that loves to love. Well, it's sort of appropriate I said that because today is Valentine's Day, at least the taping of this part of the program is, and that's, well, that's all well and good. If you really are into that sort of thing, I mean, it's like, you know, it's Valentine's Day, you got to give somebody, you got to give your loved one something. Yeah, because you got to have one day out of the year to do it. You know, you really should you should do this all the time. Quite frankly, you shouldn't have to wait for just Valentine's Day to do something nice for your loved one. Should you? You should do it at any time. Or if you're going to do it, you know, have somewhat of a sense of humor about it. You don't need all that stupid, you know, flowers and candy business. Give your wife something that she's going to like. You know, like a vacuum cleaner or perhaps a new mop. That sends a pretty clear message, I would say. Not a bad idea, really. Or you could go with what our sponsors, the Central Barbecue. Get her a rack of ribs. That would be nice. Yeah, you got to be sure and make sure Hallmark has everything that they need from you. They got to get the money. I know too many women that get so bent out of shape about, you know, you didn't give me any flowers. You didn't give me any candy. You don't love me. Well, you know, why does it have to be on the 14th of February for this particular bullshit? You know, when I was in school, they always made us, you know, you had to take Valentine cards to all the kids in class. And you can tell when, you know, the girl that you liked, she just kind of phoned it in with your ass because she had to do it. She had to be nice because everybody has to get a Valentine's Day card. They should do away with that crap too, quite frankly. You know, you need to learn some important stuff. That's speaking of which, schools, real quickly, the state of Mississippi, ever leading the charge for idiocy. I love that state so much, but I don't understand why those people there really believe that they are passing a bill right now in their legislature that will force the teaching of creationism in their schools. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, we got to teach the myth, you know, because we don't want to upset someone's religious sensibilities. It's ridiculous. It's stupid, but, you know, it's the way it is. You got to keep everybody dumb, because if you keep them dumb, then you got them under your control, I guess. I don't know. Oh, Rick, you're being kind of harsh. I thoroughly believe that the Earth is older than 6,000 years, and no, dinosaurs did not live with mankind. We wouldn't have survived. The dinosaurs would have eaten all of us. Predators. And then there's those things, well, you know, there's no such things as dinosaurs because their fossils were placed here, you know, by the devil to fool us all. Whatever kind of bullshit is that? Stuff called science. It's a pretty remarkable thing, and it does happen. It does. It's real. It is so real, as a matter of fact, that it's as real as this show, that we have a great show for you this time out. We've got music on the way from The Heavy Eyes. They're a great band, good longtime friends of the radio station. We'll tell you more about them. But first, it's time to sit down with our guest. She's, of course, been on the show many times. She's a very knowledgeable person when it comes to show business, and she's going to teach you guys a few things. So here's the thing. If you're in show business or you have any interest in getting into show business, you need to pay very good close attention to what she has to say. It's a conversation with the general manager of Pirate Radio Studios and Radio Memphis. It's the lovely, it's the effervescent, it's the lovely and talented Miss Diana Fryer.
Take two. And so we sit, as I mentioned before, which nobody heard, with everybody out of the room, and now we're here, and equipment going through constant adjustment in the midst of, after 5 years of running the way that it's run, and we're now monkeying with everything.
We are, and so we decided that we were going to be a little productive with time, because we now have a engineering...
Leftover studio time.
We have an engineering staff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we came across that. And, you know, we're waiting for those boys to get back here so we can, I guess, do some more monkeying around.
They want to take what was created these years ago and completely redo it, which is fine. I mean, you have to do what you do. But at the same time, I'm a little...
Well, they're not redoing it completely.
No, they're improving it for sure. But I just like, you know... This is my baby.
I understand. I understand. But you know, we actually found out some cool things that we need to do and we need to take care of and we need to clean out.
Yes, we do, and that's fine. I mean, improvement and growth is always a painful experience.
Yes.
It always is. Mm-hmm. Despite it, sometimes it's relatively painless, but for the most part, it comes with change, which can be unsettling.
You don't want anybody to touch the plugs.
I don't mind that if it's a...
You're squirming in your seat about it.
I am, but we have been very fortunate and very blessed to bring people in that really know what they're doing.
Yep.
We've had people that have come through the years that claimed to know what they were doing, but didn't.
Well, they've not gotten this close to, you know, what we're doing right now either.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, and intently for all the things that we're trying to accomplish right now, you know, the model and the idea that you've created, you know, for what, you know, essentially exists on air and how things are working, you know, technically, is that's not changing.
No.
That whole idea is not changing.
It's not changing, no.
You know, it's just the way things are routed in and out, and it's new to you. That's it.
Yeah. We were in here the other night putting in a new piece of equipment.
Right.
And it was funny because you were sitting here at the end of the broadcast. We're in Studio B. You were sitting at the end of the broadcast table, and you were you were transcribing what was being said between Ryan and I.
Yeah.
And it was a very funny post. It was, all right, plug this into source this. What you know, it was like, what? We didn't really know what
input,
we were doing.
Input, output. Put this over here. No. This one talks to this machine, and this one goes like, the hell.
And it was trial and error. And it turns out there was a few people that were listening on the air when it was going on. They were like,
right.
I knew somebody was in the studio. But when you make these changes, obviously the outcome is going to be better than what you envision.
Absolutely.
And as you do that, it becomes that process is, I'm not a fan of that process. I want it to be as minimally invasive to the listener as possible is really what it boils down to. I don't mind if they want to come in here with a completely new batch of equipment and we're going to tick her off the air for a while and then make it happen. And then it happens and it's great. But I'm so sensitive, I guess, because of the time that I spent at Clear Channel.
Sure.
And at I Fucking Heart Media, when you watch what was done and how poorly treated the audience was during their process, I'm very sensitive to that. And people to this day still don't understand that they were being lied to. And I don't want to fall into that. I don't want that to be a thing that, oh, he's just another radio hump and he's just going to lie to us. I don't want to ever have to put that onto anybody at Radio Memphis, that because we never do that.
Mm-mm.
That's critical and very foremost in my mind as far as what we do with the equipment,
mm-hmm.
what comes out of our minds, what comes out of our faces, what we do with our hands on this equipment has to be integrally sound.
And it's going to be. And one of the things that we also have to remember too is that, you know, it's not even just the radio station anymore. You know, we're a production company.
Mm.
You know, and you know, we've got some other things that we're, you know, compiling and putting together as we speak.
Oh yeah.
You know, some pretty cool huge things.
Huge in that it's, I think, because you know, I remember telling you when this early on, like 5 years ago, when we really started putting this thing on.
Mm.
That I had this that vision, that moment, that flash of everything that happened. And one of those things, and we talked about it a lot with various people that had been through here.
We have.
That having a recording facility within our midst, within a finger's length of us, was critical. But at the same time, we put it aside. For several years, we just let it go. That's a dream that we can pursue down the way.
Well, I mean, what we also understood was that, yeah, it had to happen, but we also knew that at some point that we were going to have to look to somebody else to help us make that.
Oh,
part.
Without a doubt.
Because, you know, there was only so much, you know, that, you know, we can do.
Timing and personnel had to work out.
Yeah.
Time.
I mean, my God.
And it did. That's just it. It's worked out.
It has worked out. We've went through some crazy stuff, and you're talking about visions and dreams. Remember that dream I had, and it was around the same time you were talking about the vision, and I kept telling you it was like, you know, there's this box that's floating in the middle of the air.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember the keys that are actually, you know, hanging over the box, and
yeah.
And it was like, you know, we go to open it, and then it's like, you know, poof, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I wake up or whatever, you know, I think about, you know, now I think about these things and, you know, and over the course of time and, you know, I go back to it and I try to remember. And it's almost like, you know, for me, it's key people. It's putting key people in key places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I'll say it, you know, we've been very fortunate, you know, to have, you know, made alliances and friendships, you know, and familyships, you know, with Brad Dunn of American Recording Studios. You know, he is brought to the table, you know, for us, you know, and opened up just a whole world of things that we're able to do and kind of incorporate with what we've got going on here. And, you know, and we're glad to say that he's actually, you know, a part of what we've got going on right
well,
now.
Well, and to be fair, his uncle had envisioned a space that we're in.
Well, that's the crazy cool thing. It all is going to go into the book that we'll eventually write about, you know, our journey, you know, that we're on, you know, getting to wherever it is that we're going. And the fact that, you know, Duck Dunn had a dream about having a radio station, you know, here is amazing.
Doing what it's doing, yeah.
That's doing what it's doing, you know, and he envisioned that and he wanted that to happen. You know, we're talking late 90s, you know, and he knew then, he was like, okay, you know, that is so far-fetched and that is so way ahead of the idea that, you know, nobody would jump in on that. Nobody would pay attention to it. And, you know, and because, you know, that was not the thing then. But he even knew then that eventually, you know, that whole idea would come to pass.
And it has.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, and we've talked about this before, is that, okay, it works, now what? And we're in that now what phase.
Now what?
And now that it's going, the now what has forced us as a company to really pull in people that we really have to, lay at their feet.
Yep.
The assistance that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a leap of faith. To a certain extent.
It's tough.
It is tough because we have been burned by so many people.
Right.
I saw that there was a former individual that used to be a part of this long time ago who, through an unfortunate change in their lives,
mm-hmm.
have had to sell off their entire production stuff, all their musical instruments, all of their recording equipment. And it was said that, you know, in the post that I saw was, due to circumstances beyond my control, I'm now having to make major life adjustments. And I felt bad. I was like, well, I'm not, you know, I didn't feel personally bad, but I felt bad for that individual.
Sure.
There was a sympathy there. It's like, I hate that anybody that has been through what this industry does
mm.
to inflict those type of changes where, because it does work in this industry, whether you're in radio, whether you're in recording or you know, the creation of entertainment in any, or art in any way, shape, or form, that when life hands you these situations where you have to turn around and completely wipe it all out.
Right.
And then make this whole change, it's like, wow, it's, you know, it's the big punching of the time clock. But kaboom, I'm moving on. I'm going to go sell bait in Caribbean, you know, whatever you do.
Well, that's not an option for us.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, you know what? I'm done. This is it. I tell my wife that if this doesn't work, I'm hanging the headphones up and I don't know what else I'll do, but it won't be this. And I don't see that happening because we have come so far.
It was good seeing her because that, you know, when I saw her the other night.
Yeah, she shows up the other night. Yeah,
yeah. I that was the first time I'd even seen her, you know, in quite some time. Where I got used to seeing her all the time, you know, when we moved the studio.
Yeah,
know.
When it was at the house. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was good. It was good seeing her, and she was so funny because she was like, "Are you okay? Is everything okay? Are you good? You're not going anywhere, are you? Right? You're not quitting." No, I haven't. Actually, I haven't used that word in quite some time.
No,
now.
You haven't. I'm quite impressed, actually. It's, you know.
I thought it.
I trust me. I am too. Not on your behalf, but my own. You know, maybe I'll just find somebody. Hey, you want a radio station? Do you really want to deal with this? I think right here in the, pardon the analogy here, but in the first quarter of 2016.
Right.
We are already seeing massive upheaval in the audio-based business. I'm not talking records or radio. It's all of it. It's audio-based business.
And that's the music business, period.
It is turning completely around. Nobody knows what's going on. They go, well, Rick, you're not selling any ad time over there. Well, yes and no. We are, but we're not.
Right.
Not to the levels I'd like to see. But, you know, AM and FM radio is not selling any time at all.
No, they're not.
And the reason being, and this is a perfect format for this, the agencies that control this, that control the advertising in the radio industry, in the broadcast industry,
right.
they're not letting go of any of that money. They're not selling it.
No, they're scared.
They're not buying any of this time because we have to, and I'm talking about we as all broadcasters, whether you're internet or terrestrial, we all have to figure out where it is we're going.
Yep.
Now, when FM finally realizes that their jobs are done and that they, if they're not going to jump into the internet world correctly.
Correctly. There's a key thing there.
Correctly.
There's a key thing.
They've had a shot at it. You may get a second shot to kind of, you know, correct your fuck up and go along because it is new for everybody. I'll give them that.
Mm.
Television figured it out, and they figured it out fast.
Yeah, they did.
Radio, the simplest of broadcast fashion, they still won't do it because of their internal greed. These agencies that are holding on to this money, and I'm talking a shitload of money, they're right. Sitting there watching this happen, and they're going, we're going to see what rises. And that's where we'll put our clients' money.
Well, I mean, this also goes back to how everybody is aligning themselves and how everybody is putting themselves together. You know, I talked before with you, and I've talked about it before on air. You know, this is the time where, you know, music and brand are actually aligning themselves. Now, I tell you who's done it, who's done it very well, and who's actually probably kicking everybody's ass right now is Netflix.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, they've nailed it.
You know,
they have fucking nailed it.
They but you know, between the programming, you know, between the releases, between the relationships as far as with music and putting out there and who they're able to reach and who they're able to, you know, jump onto, you know, they actually wound up, you know, and on a profit level have wound up making quite the model that not only TV has to pay attention to, not only does radio have to pay attention to, but the music industry in itself, labels and everybody has to pay attention to. And it's one of those things where, I mean, it's been mentioned, you know, and it was brought up, you know, and it was actually, you know, something that I kind of got into, I guess it was about a week or two ago, and they were making the analysis and they were putting the numbers up, to, you know, against each other for, as far as what they were doing. And it was like, this music dude was like, you know, We might want to take a page off that book because of, you know, them being able to invest and them being able to go a little bit further into it. And it's one of those things where, I mean, don't sit there and think for 2 seconds that it's like huge millions and billions of dollars in profit. But you know what? They're able to take care of all of their operating costs. They're able to take care of all of their, you know, their future endeavors, you know, and have that in the bank already covered. And they're able to have some left over in the bank and stuff, so which puts them as a very, very successful group during the time period that we're going through right now as an industry.
3 years ago, Netflix announced rather publicly that they were dropping, I think it was like, it was a substantial amount of cash. It was like, it was like 20 billion, I think it was, 15 billion into original programming. And then look what happened. All these shows came out that were Netflix exclusives.
Yes, and they take that. They actually take the time, you know, to go ahead and try to develop this content, you know.
And they're doing it right. They were correct in that, and it goes back to Bill Gates. We've talked about this before. Content is king when
sure
it comes to the web.
Sure it is.
Content is king. But it goes beyond the internet in my estimation.
It's
content is king, whether it's terrestrial television, terrestrial radio.
The internet's just a platform.
That's all it is. It's a blank canvas. You can do with it what you will. Content is king on a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen tremendous billboard campaigns that have really caught my eye. I have seen newspaper advertisements that really were clever, because it's still content. If you're holding it in your hands and your eyeballs are laying onto it,
right,
or if your ears are being attached to it, you are still being exposed to this content. It has to be right.
Right.
It has to be to the point. It has to be engaging. It has to be humorous, perhaps, or if that's the direction you're going with. It can create fear. It can instill any type of emotion. Once you've turned that emotional lock, then you have something. Do we do it right over here? No, we don't.
Well, hell.
Well, no, we don't. And we never will. That's just it. Not in my minds. We will never do it right.
That's right.
But we can always strive for that ideal. It's always that carrot that's on the end of the stick that the donkey never gets. That's how I feel it is, you mm-hmm. know, for what we do at Radio Memphis, because we didn't reinvent the wheel.
No, we sure do. We didn't.
We didn't change much of anything. People will say, well, Rick, you're an innovator. You're not. No. All I did was take what used to work and apply it to something that does work. That's it.
That's a big part of it.
The,
you know,
the rest of it is adding the right personnel. That's critical.
There's that. I mean, you also, okay, if you want to use us as a model, I mean, one of the things that we were able to do is that, you know, we were able to, for better, you know, lack of terms here, I should say, you had the opportunity to go back and invest in developing some people, you know.
Oh, sure.
In order to be able to do these things and do those jobs.
Well, we wasted some money on a few folks. And
whatever. You know. Right.
But it happens. That's life. You know, God, how... Have you thought back about the people that you dated that you really shouldn't have met? You know, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I got involved in that. But in a way, when you look back on it, you realize that that was necessary.
Sure it is.
You have to go through that. Everybody has to have relations with people they shouldn't have. You have to play with fire.
I know.
You have to ride that
roller coaster. No, it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked, but that's what adds to your experiences.
All right. Light bulb. Two words. Sounds
Star
like
Trek.
Okay.
The film, The Final Frontier.
All right.
When Kirk goes, it's my pain. You can't take this from me. Remember Spock's brother?
Yeah, okay.
Remember that? That whole deal when they were going to the planet where God was, and the whole deal was, what does God need a spaceship?
Yeah.
But it was like, I can take your pain from me. He's like, why do you want to take my pain? This is my pain. I earned it. It is mine. I wear it with pride.
Right.
It is the scars, part of the scars that we have. A little more sensible, the film Jaws, when that great scene at night when they're all in the boat And they go, they're all drunk and they're sharing their scars.
Yeah, yeah.
And that leads up to the great story about the Indianapolis. And Dreyfus goes, he pulls his shirt open, and of course there's nothing there. And he goes, you see that? And they're all looking and go, what are you saying?
We don't see anything.
He goes, that's the scar that Peggy Sue left when she took my heart. And they all laugh and having a big time. But that's just it. Those things that happen to people, you know, whether it's surgery, whether you get burned in a fire, or you get in a car wreck, whether you deal with people, the internal scars, the external scars, those are things that you carry with you forever. And that is not necessarily a reminder, but it's part of who you are.
Well, sure it does. It shapes who you are, too.
People make up businesses. Businesses are made of people. I mean, it's a ramp.
Right.
When you have those things in place that are building blocks, you know, from you have like here from us, we have people that are so good at certain things that we put them in that one spot.
Sure.
I'm trying to do this without naming names. I'm, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But when you bring with that the scars that come with that, you and I have been through a lot, and we have seen, you know, and I'm going to kind of say it here, but in a roundabout way, that one of the most difficult things that we've had to do was separate ourselves from an individual that helped us build it.
Yeah.
And that was a very heartbreaking moment for me. And, and at that, whether that individual's listening or not, doesn't really matter. It so much as it is to say that was probably one of the single most difficult things I've ever had to endure. But once it got behind me, that was something that I will always carry that.
I know.
Right or wrong. It's not as baggage. It's a scar. It's a point of pride that I live through that. And I wish the best for that individual, but that's part of the formation. It's not just me as a person, but my involvement in this company.
Sure.
That's the critical thing.
It is. I mean, you know, and you know me. I mean, I personally invested myself in everybody that's come through that door.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, emotionally.
I do.
And to a certain extent, some financially.
Yeah, that too, you know. Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah.
But, you know, money's the illusion. Whatever. It's only illusion when you try to tell MLGW, the light, gas, and water company, that it's only illusion, man. Money's an illusion.
Money's an illusion. So if you,
it doesn't
if
exist.
You
don't
pretend,
come
yeah. If you pretend that this piece of paper is a $20 bill, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole perpetration of the lie, that we have this piece of paper that says it's worth something, you know, and it drives our boat. And we have always, you and I have held that it doesn't take a whole hell of a lot to make our world turn.
No.
And because of that, though, that's a very freeing thing.
It is. It is. I mean, and with that, and along with all of the things that we are trying to accomplish right now, and all of the projects and all the programs that we're putting into place, and now that we've got the certain key people that we've got in place, you know, it is more magical to me to know that, you know, we're going to be able to put out, you know, a product and put out, you know, a deal that, you know, everybody is ultimately going to, you know, not only need, want, but love. You know, and you know, that's important. You know, one of the things that I find that when I do all my research, and, you know, as you can see, kill trees. I kill them.
The hippies would hate you if they knew what you did.
Well, you know, look. And the funny the thing that works with me is that, I mean, yeah, I know we've got, you know, we've got our phones and we've got our little tablets and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, you know, and I could sit there and, like, you know, bookmark it and stuff. But I'm one of those, like, I have to write it down, or even if it's just a note, or I'll have to print it off, you know, and it's one, and, you know, because it's paper, and it's one of those, like, it's old school to me, and I have to hold it, and
it's tangibility,
and it's a thing with me. I mean, I could sit there and find something, and I know that I need to pay attention to it, or I'll need to read it later, or I know that it's going to form into this little puzzle I've got going on with myself, and I'll print it, and I'll come back to it, and sometimes I will have printed it, I might have read, like, you know, kind of scanned over it and stuff, and I'll set it aside. And it won't be something that I'll necessarily go immediately back to, like, that night or the next day, but it'll be a couple of weeks, and then something will pop up, and I go, you know, that's right. And I go in my little Rolodex of shit I got, man, and I start looking through
it's
it.
It's the old, yeah, I think I'm going to, Oh, there it is. Oh, it's under F for fuck you.
I got it. Right. No, but you know what? The things that I'm really paying attention to is that, you know, some of these people that are lining themselves up and some of the people as far as in our industry, you know, because ultimately it's, you know, what we try to pay attention to right now. You know, they're trying to make some really, really cool things happen. And one of the things is, you know, I look at is investing back into, you know, people in their company, investing back into, you know, artist development, you know, if you're talking, you know, music and industry, you know, investing back, you know, into actual, you know, ideas where, you know, big companies at one point in time, you know, they, you know, the first thing that they would do and they would cut costs or they would cut things off at the knees just to thinking that they could save a buck to make, you know, make a million more was that they would cut off the one thing that was their idea maker. They would cut off the one thing that was their commodity, you know, and to see, you know, and they would get ahead for just a second, you know, or they would get ahead, you know, just long enough to sit there and think they felt pretty good about it. And then it got to be a habit with everybody. Now they're figuring out that they're like, oh shit, you know? All right. So every song that we've all put out all sounds like, you know, the same shit, or everything is a one hit wonder now, or there's no longevity. There's nobody, you know, look at all the icons, look at all the rock icons that are passing, you know, and every day, you know, and it, I mean, the first of this year, man, it started out rough. I was scared to open up social media, man, because it was like, as soon as you opened it up, you know, somebody important and crazy cool, you know, died.
Oh, it's not even done yet.
No, it's not. But you know, this is,
they're all from the same generation. They're all from the same
and
age.
this is that time period, and every, you know, and it was like the first one or two would pop up and everybody was like, damn. Then it was like about a week or two and everybody's like, dude, okay, stop, you know, make it stop. And here's the thing that I got from it. It was like, you know, everybody, you know, that was mourning and everybody that was upset about these people that were passing and stuff, I'm like, y'all need to figure it out, okay? Because our mentors are leaving the planet, okay? They're going to another place in the sky, and you need to figure it out. You need to learn. You need to pay attention. You need to follow. You need to take notes. You better ask somebody. We can get in touch with somebody so quickly now these days, where before it was so hard. Now you need to reach out and touch these people. And you know, the biggest thing for me was that during those time periods, you know, when these people were doing the incredible crazy things that they were doing, and they were making marks and they were making history and they were making, you know, movements happen, you know, they didn't have the help, they didn't have anybody's advice, you know, they truly had to make things happen on their own.
Well, they were pioneers. I mean,
absolutely,
because nobody else had done it. And I remember I was probably 13-14 years old. And I remember listening to some record. I don't even remember the band or the song, but I remember a guy that was, it was my friend's brother. He was an older brother, and he goes, "Man, don't even waste your time in music, man, because all of the songs have been written. There'll never be any more new music." And it wasn't until probably 4 or 5 years ago that I never really thought about it. Until you look at what's out there and the new crap that comes out, and you go, you know what? I think he had a point.
Oh my God!
Because you hear the crap that comes out, and the last great individual stuff that was out there was, well, hell, I can't even think of who that might be.
You know, and as far as you know, all of that is concerned. I mean, one of the things. Who are you waving at?
The ghosts out there.
Okay.
The engineers.
Oh, the engineer's nice. Yeah. Well, one of the things for me, I mean, you know, all of this stuff has happened. You know, the pioneers came and did what they did. You know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, rolled around, you know, and, you know, the heydays of, you know, companies, you know, investing in artists and things like that. Good, right, wrong, or indifferent, whether, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, there was that time period where there was a lot of hands on. I mean, and that's me looking back. You know, there was a lot of hands on, you know, how, you know, certain people were directed, you know, as far as, you know, as far as in their industry and in their business, whatever the case may be.
Well, yeah, it was the age of the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that anymore.
Mm-mm.
People still seek it out.
People still seek it out, but even then, I mean, now it's, you know, well, now it's starting to come back around. But for the longest time, you know, it was, we're not going to invest in the people that are running our companies. We're not going to invest in the people that are seeking out the talent. Mm. We're not going to invest in the promotions or the parts of the company, you know, that put it out there. But this has just got to happen. You know, and, you know, and because this has just got to happen, it's got to be just good enough that we are who we are. And, you know, this person just has to be good enough to make that happen. And then so be it, you know, and at the end of the day, subpar quality, you know, as far as what's been coming out, subpar quality, you know, as far as in music and talent, subpar quality in equipment, sound, you know, or whomever, unless you're dealing with somebody who was old school and stuck with stuff that they know.
Hence why internet radio, much like Radio Memphis,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen this,
mm.
listenership is down in the industry. Now, I'm talking, not talking AM, FM. Take them out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at internet radio.
It's not down. It's up.
Wait. Generally speaking, internet radio listening is down thanks to Pandora,
mm-hmm.
thanks to Spotify and their algorithmic crap. It's down thanks to the idiots that don't know what they're doing and the professional radio people that have been blown out that never got into the business.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a, yo, bro, I can do whatever. I'm a metal station. I can say fuck you all day long. Those guys have hurt that.
Yes.
It's not down when it comes to people like you and I and things that run. I'm blowing my horn. Radio Memphis.
Right.
Our listenership has plateaued and has remained strong.
Mm-hmm.
Our growth has slowed a little.
Mm-hmm.
It happens because people, you know, they get tired. They get tired of listening to it. And they go, it's more of the same. And then they discover something. They go, well, this is a breath of fresh air.
Right.
The industry is still going through those changes. Whether you're adapting equipment to do what it is supposed to do or not, whether it is you're putting content out there that has the attention that it deserves.
Right.
Or whether you're playing Metallica records.
Right.
Whatever the hell you're doing. It means more to the listener if they have an option. And those options are going to start narrowing. I'm telling you right now, it's going to get narrower and narrower mm-hmm. as the idiots get out.
I agree.
The people that don't know what the fuck they're doing in this broadcast business, in the internet, get out.
I agree.
You're not going to make it.
I agree. That's going to be the way it is, though, across the board, all over the place. Now, we've already discussed this. You know, we know that the independent sector, you know, as far as the industry, you know, is going to be the ones that are going to be, you know, it's the moneymaker, you know.
Well, I don't know about, yeah, you're right about moneymaker, but it's the long term. I'm thinking over a period of time, over 10, 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. It is
not
the long
3-year arc of a of an artist.
Mm-hmm. This is the long term deal. These are the groups that you're going to invest in. These are the groups that you're going to bolster up. These are the groups that you're going to, you know, make sure that you put the correct people in place so that they can be those talent scouts. They can be that A&R, or they can be those, you know, managers and presidents and representatives, or that they can be those, you know, the guy
that looks at it and goes, you know what, I dig this.
Right.
And I think I can help you.
Or even like the guys, like, you know, the two engineers that we have that have finally shown back up in the next room, right. You know, that are the ones that are go, if we do this, you know, they're not doing anything outside the box. They're not doing anything different, but they're applying something they know to a technology that we've got, and they're going to make it work. You know, it's going to be those people on a long-term basis that's going to make those things happen. Now, with that being said, just because that sounds really warm and fuzzy and, you know, you're going to be able to plant a garden and you're going to water it and daisies are going to pop out of the shit, all of that good stuff.
I don't want daisies. I want tomatoes.
What the hell ever. Daisies, damn it. All right. For now, it's just daisies.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. But what's going to happen is that, you know, these, you know, artists, you know, inventors, everybody, you know, they're going to have to step up their game. All right.
Well, sure.
They're going to have to understand that, you know, there's etiquette and there's protocols and there's things that they're going to have to follow, you know, in order to run their business, you know, in order to understand all of business. You know, and that's just the way it's going to be. They're also going to have to understand what it is that people are looking for in them, you know, when they want to continue on. You know, if I'm investing some money, you know, in somebody to find me some talent, you know, why am I going to sit there and spend some money on, you know, on a group that, you know, doesn't even know what the hell social media is, let alone do it? Why the hell am I going to invest into some money, you know, into a group that's not going to do, you know, anything, you know, more on their own with the availability that they can do now? You know, they have all of the stuff that they can make happen now on their own. You're not even willing to do that now for yourself. You know, why is it somebody else's job to make your dream? You know, if there are things that you can physically do with what's available to you right now, knowing that even if it just made you one inch step forward, you know, in your destination, why won't you do that? Why am I going to invest in you?
I learned a very, you brought this up and this is beautiful. I learned a very interesting lesson.
What's that?
Regarding social media.
I helped you with this.
No one in the know that have the, no one in the influential end of the business gives a flat flying fuck about Facebook.
No, they don't.
I've also learned that these same people don't give a flat flying fuck about Twitter. What I have learned is that what they really care about, this is really bizarre, Instagram. If you do not have a large Instagram following, you won't even be allowed to walk in the office. That is now a, it's like a measuring stick. Oh, we'd love to talk to you, but I don't know. You don't have that much of an Instagram following. And it's like, it's so far out left field. It's like, Instagram?
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, you know what, though? I mean, that throwing that.
Instagram has such a huge engaging audience.
Well, sure they do, you know,
but that's why
they, I mean, they all have an engagement to a period, to an extent.
Oh yeah.
But you know, here's the thing. I mean, if you're not going to engage on any of it, you know, we're okay. This is like, well, you know, nobody's going to clap for me. Well, you know, nobody's going to be there to see me or clap.
Thanks,
for
Bobby,
me.
Bobby, for Fro showing up.
Right.
Show,
you know, so I'm not going to go there and I'm not going to play. You know, this goes back to, you don't know which five people are standing there watching you play. You know,
one of them might be the guy with the book,
you know, and that's the thing. I mean, when people sit there and understand what it is that somebody's looking for, you know, you got to remember, you know, how is your work ethic? How is your business ethic? You know, how is it that you go by about your stuff? All right. Are you going to half-ass it because you think, okay, nobody's going to pay attention, therefore I'm not going to do it. Guess what? They're paying attention the entire time, you know, and that's just it. You know, you don't get to, you know, there's no break on that. But and here's the thing. If you truly are into what you've got going on, you don't even look at it as needing a break. You look at it as something you've got to do.
You
got to
make your own breaks. You know, luck doesn't exist in entertainment. I think that's a big misnomer for a lot of people that think that, oh, so-and-so got lucky. They didn't get lucky.
Nobody gets lucky.
They worked their ass off. They work their tits off to get to that point.
Unless you got those people who talk about the people who were born into the business, you know, like, you know, yeah.
But even then, they don't, the siblings of famous people really don't do that well.
Mm-mm.
They really don't. Mm-mm. Because they're being compared to their fathers, their mothers, you know, that it's always the same thing. It's that you have to work, you have to make your own breaks. Prime example, Jacob Dylan from the Wallflowers.
Right.
The Wallflowers was, in my estimation, probably one of the best bands that came out in the late 90s.
Wow.
In my estimation.
Okay.
And a lot of people thought that Bob had, Jacob's dad had a heavy influence into the band. The influence, as far as I'm concerned, was through Jacob being the son of Bob, but never really allowed his father to take part into what was being written, because if you pay close attention to that first album, the Wallflowers' first album, what sounds like Bob is what you're hearing is Jacob singing kind of like his dad.
Right.
But Bob never wrote any of that stuff. That's not what that was. One Headlight is, to me, probably one of the quintessential great records of that time. On par with Bruce Springsteen, and I say that because Bruce liked it so much that he sang the song with him.
That's right.
On that one show, and they did such a great job together, and there was a lot of recognition, and there's some great work that came out of that. It shows that it doesn't matter where you come from, even if you come from the loins of the business, find that separation and go your own route.
Hmm.
You have to blaze a new trail.
Hmm.
There's plenty of field to blaze those trails in. Go and do it.
There is. You know.
It's not easy. It's getting harder and harder all the time. We just recently celebrated the, when was it, 59? The day the music died, the Buddy Holly and them. That was a substantial thing.
It was.
That was a big deal.
It was.
And yet it didn't kill rock and roll.
No, and it didn't, you know, and it, you know how I get, you know, I'm all heart and, you know, fired up about stuff. And, you know, my biggest thing is also I get real disheartened when I see, you know, I see some incredibly talented people that do some dumb shit. You know,
I had an image in my head.
You know,
I didn't say a word, but that, yes, it is. It's insanely frustrating when it's like, it's not hard.
It's not hard. And I had to learn a very, very kind of quasi weird lesson to myself. You know, here just recently, it's one of those things where you can't want it for somebody, you can't wish it for somebody, and you can't necessarily, you know, always tell somebody,
yeah,
you know, what to do and where to go, you know, because it's one of those things where, you know, you have to let them be the ones in order to, you know, develop, and they have to be the ones in order to get to that certain place, because if you do tell them everything, you're going to do them a disjustice, you know what I mean? On certain things. And you know, for me, it's, you know, I have to, you know, I have to sit back, you know, and try to just survey and pay attention and watch before I say anything right now, you know, because, you know, my first instinct, because, you know, sometimes I feel like I know the answer, is like, okay, look, don't do that. Go here, do this. Don't do that. Do this, blah, you know, but how are they going to learn, you know?
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. Fall on your face.
And I don't want that to happen either.
Well, we fell on our faces.
I get that.
Everybody falls on their face. That's part of life. That's what you do.
I get that.
You know, you don't know the stove is hot until you put your hand on it.
I get that.
And if you've got somebody who is, I don't know, say 35, 40 years old, who knows, should know better and doesn't understand that, then, you know, God love you. I hope you survive to 50. I hope you can go through your life without having a drumstick shoved up your ass, because you have not figured out what it is it takes to interact with people on a level that is correct.
There's
it's
that.
About being professional, about being polite, and it's about treating people as human beings.
That, I mean, and it's about, you know, being knowledgeable, and it's about being, you know, and when I say, you know, when I say knowledgeable and educated, I'm not saying that, you know, you have to go get a piece of paper that says you're smart. But I'm saying, you know,
oh, God, no.
But, you know, it's about, you know, learning what's going on, you know, paying attention to, you know, what's going on around you, you know, outside of you.
And don't fuck up.
No, there's that.
Just simple. Don't fuck up. Just be kind. Start with that. And if you're going to be critical of other people, sit down with them and say, hey, this is how I would do it. You know, have that simple, sensible conversation.
Right.
You don't go, oh, man, bro, that sucks. You know, take care of those that care after you.
Well, there's
that's
that.
Kind of,
I mean,
that's kind of it. You know,
and again, with how everybody, you know, handles their deal and handles their business. There's a lot of stuff to pay attention to. I will say that anybody that is really wanting to do something as far as, you know, is, well, since we're talking about it from our angle, when I think about artists and I think about music, you know, if you intend on really doing anything, there will be a lot of things that you need to make sure that you are able to handle on your own and make happen on your own, you know, up to and including, you know, getting stuff out there, getting stuff recorded, getting stuff, you know, in front of certain masses, at least on your level, mm-hmm. you know, before anybody's going to pay attention, understand or acknowledge, you know, and one of the beautiful things is that business is business. Whether it's, you know, car business, whether it's the medical business, music business, business is business. Okay. And, you know, in order, you know, in order for everybody to really, really do well in business, put out a great product and do some crazy, major, awesome things and make some moments happen, they have to ensure that the people that they're investing their business into are going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain. You know, and the only way that they're going to do that, you know, is to ensure that those particular individuals are able to handle and do what they need to do, you know, up until that certain point. And if they're not able to and they don't, you know, it's going to show. And, you know, and a lot of these guys, you know, they sit there and the first excuse that you'll hear is, you know, well, if I just known that somebody was like paying attention, I would have. If you'd have just known that somebody was paying attention, you would have what, behaved? No, see, here's the thing. You're always being looked at. You're always being investigated. You're always being searched out. You're always being paid attention to. Well, you know, at every stage, at every moment that you show up as a blip on a map, you know, somebody is going to tune in, or somebody's going to look at it, or somebody's going to download it, and somebody's going to make a critique about it, and somebody's going to pay attention to it. You know, so it's best to act the way you were going to act. You know, so we know on the front end. And if you're going to be really true and honest about you, your craft, and what you got going on, there won't be a problem.
Well put. Well, on that.
Well, you know. I'm going to get it off my chest.
Well, fantastic. As you know, with from Radioland, we've added this whole new feature. We're playing a tune.
Yeah, what you got?
I don't know. What do you want to hear? You pick it. Seriously, because when we sat down, you know, because I try and find something that really kind of fits, you know, something that's but is there something that
we got into new Heavy Eyes in.
Oh, yeah, the brand new Heavy Eyes. And, He Dreams of Lions, a great record. Yeah.
And, you know, and the reason why I sit there and I say even bring that up is, one, because we were just talking about it before you and I decided to sit down and do this podcast.
That's a great record.
But, you know, yeah. Heavy Eyes was kind of special to us.
Well, how about the title track?
All right.
We'll play it later.
Okay.
All right. It's called He Dreams of Lions. It's awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's really cool. And it's this they tell the story about this guy who is walking alone on the beach and he's naked and he lays down to take a rest and he dreams of lions. And it's very simple and yet very Greek godlike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something that you might want to masturbate to later.
I don't understand. We were having such a good conversation until just now. But, you know, we almost got through this whole damn thing without you being that stupid. What
me
the hell?
Me being stupid? No, it has nothing to do with me being stupid. It's me making a stupid comment, perhaps.
Well, I mean, but in my world, no, dude. So I was having this really warm fuzzy, you know, I felt really good. And then what?
Oh, you'll feel warm and fuzzy when you hear this.
Stop. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you're trying to do. I'm not going to succumb.
Love you. Mean it.
Ass.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I guess I have a standard that I should be properly grateful. So.
Oh, nah. Okay.
No, I really do.
You're part of a great group of musicians, you know.
Oh, that's absolutely.
That's the whole thing. And it, you know, the competitive part of it is, you know, the really the fact that you get to hang out and spend some time with basically family. The whole blues community was just one gigantic family.
It was very much like a homecoming. We compared it to that several times. We're out there. It's like, hey, man, I haven't seen this guy since last year. I got to go say hello.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, it's like there were people all over the place.
You were fortunate with the IBCs here, and then the BMAs are here as well, and that's sort of the other homecoming, and that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, we haven't made that one yet, but maybe here in the future. So.
Come on down. When is it? May? April? First week of May. Yeah, right on. Yeah, come on down. Be a part of it. It's a lot of fun.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
If you're looking for a pretty groovy gift to give somebody, perhaps a birthday or something for yourself, we highly recommend our friends over at Wizards. They're a Memphis institution. They've been around a long time. 1999 Madison Avenue, open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and they have some pretty cool stuff. It's a very unique smoke shop. It's an alternative smoke shop, and they've got some cool stuff. And I'm telling you right now, my friends, they've got some good deals on some lava lamps. Oh, yeah, you need one. You got to have one in your home. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com or search Wizards Memphis, and it'll take you right to it. Take a look at what they have. You can buy online, secure, and safely from our friends at Wizards, because it's still smoking. You heard us talking about it. It's time to get into a tune. Here's a funny thing. The band that we have for you, our musical guest, if you will, is a band that has been with Radio Memphis for a long, long time, since they've been around, really. And they have gotten some attention through us overseas. There was a fella in Germany that heard this band. And through us, through Radio Memphis, they got really excited about it, and it really kind of helped them out. It's a great story, and it's just kind of shows you how small the world can be at times. Great guys. It's a power trio. It's the Heavy Eyes. Their brand new record is available now. Search for it. It's called He Dreams of Lions, and this is the title track off of that album right here from Radioland.
He laid his body on the beach, the ocean crashing round his feet, his muscles aching from the heat. He dreams of lions as he sleeps. Ooh. We'll be right back.
That's some serious rock and roll right there. Nice fellas, too. Love these guys. They're, they've been good friends of the radio station for a long time, and we're proud to be able to bring them to you about that. Speaking of, if you want to stay in touch with us, you certainly can. Drop us a line, Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. Tell us what you want, what you don't want, or just say hey if you want to. Or you could say, hey, that Rick, he's an ass. You could say that too if you really wanted to. Do yourself a favor if you'd like, and share the show too. We would appreciate you doing that. Of course, we're all over the place in various locations. Of course, iTunes and Stitcher, Player.fm. There's a ton of places. Eventually, we're going to wind up in the Google Play thing, apparently, because they have requested a link to this show, which we gladly gave it to them. So they're still in the process of putting all of that together. And that'll be kind of cool. So, yeah, we're everywhere, whether you're on an Android or whether you're on an iPhone or if you just want to listen on your laptop or your desktop at home. Tons of ways to do it. Share it. Tell everybody you know about it. We certainly do appreciate it as the show grows and grows, and we're having a fine time with that. So there you go, kids. Mosey on, and that's going to do it here. Once again, Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. My thanks to Diana Fryer, also the Heavy Eyes. You've heard what's coming up next time. We'll see you then. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.